Yes, people. Welcome to the Property Strategies Podcast.
Who's there? What do you want to do? Shop, new here. What are you going to do? Stop, who cares? You ain't going to shoot that gun, you scared.
Ping, ting wanna. Got an African girl that wanna. Even got a Marley that wanna. Even got a Yardie that wanna.
Yes, people. Welcome to the Property Strategies Podcast.
Come on.
Today, you got your boy Gokes in the building.
Got your boy Akin in the building.
Where's Kenny?
Where's your boy Kenny?
Where's Kenny?
King Ken.
Yeah, here we go again.
I know, here we go again, guys.
Late to the party, you know.
When you got three guys, the logistics are just not easy.
It's not easy, because
you know what I mean?
Certain man is just...
It's responsibilities and stuff.
But it's all right, stuff happens, innit? So, but like, Kenny may or may not be joining us in this episode, but we'll see how it goes anyway. But yeah, man, how you been, bro?
Been all right, man. Been all right. Yeah, man. Just been a, it's been a nice week. Went away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You went away. Yeah.
Went away. It was a nice.
How was that?
Man. It was nice, man. Honestly, just
needed a break.
Yeah, I think I did, man. I was desperate for one. And yeah, I just think, yeah, I think in general, when you're working this hard, I think these breaks are necessary. Like, since 100%. I got back, like, I was literally like, guys, like, I'm going. Where's the next trip? Like,
yeah,
I really
yeah.
started to book the next one.
Oh, so. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was really good. Nice people, nice food, nice sun. Yep. This country, bloody hell, mate.
I'm getting the sun around there,
yeah,
do
you? Yeah, you don't, mate. So it was just nice, man. I'm just hungry now. Come back now. Got loads of plans, a lot of clarity around ideas and stuff like that. So
nice.
I'm just hungry.
Nice.
What about you? How's the week been?
Yeah, it's been calm. Another busy week, man.
Yeah.
These weeks are just getting busier and busier, man. But pushing through, man. Just trying to...
How you guys are staff and you know, the staff members that have started?
Yeah, doing well, man. Just obviously managing, you know, staff and all like that is plus trying to do other stuff as well. It's quite challenging, but taking in my strides and just pushing, man. You know what I mean? Just pushing, trying to see what we can do with it, man. So
Home done the hammer progress.
Yeah, done. Yeah. The work's been done finally.
Yeah.
By April. April, May latest, April. We got under they've been chasing us actually.
Yeah, who's been chasing?
Under Hammer. Like,
oh yeah.
Can we come now? But obviously we had slight delays.
Okay.
With a builder, so
cool.
You know, it's all
that
good.
That happens, though. Isn't it?
It happens. But it's all good now. I think we should have everything sorted. And
it's gonna come out.
It's gonna come out at some point. Probably in a year or whatever. But obviously, I will.
Yeah, probably do our own content as well around it as well. Patrons or people out there on YouTube as well.
Yeah,
so they can see it as well because
behind the scenes.
Those are the sort of projects that we're focused on now. You know, obviously we've done the houses and stuff. Trying to go to those sort of projects,
absolutely commercial, resi stuff like that. So
bigger projects in Jesus' name.
Amen to that, man.
But what about today? What are we talking about?
Yeah, so today we got a little bit of an interesting episode for you guys. Again, we've realized that a lot of people, the reason they don't want to get into property. It's the fears around tenants paying and not paying.
And then
you got stuff like slum landlords and nightmare tenants and stuff like that. So people are like, maybe property's not really for me. Whatever my tenants don't pay, kind of thing. So we thought we'd just do an episode basically talking about how to manage arrears, basically, because you're going to get it. Like, you've gotten it, I've gotten it. You're going to get situations like that.
Yeah, it's funny, because when we first started, I think it's one of those where it can't happen to me. God forbid it ever happened to me. But I think, you know, in life and just, you know, becoming more, you know, established businessmen and stuff like that, you have to just expect things not only to go right all the time.
Facts.
You know what I say? They're going to go, you know, left. And as long as you know what you're doing, then it all kind of works out in terms of the wider plan.
It's
about having a level head, knowing what to do, following the right protocols and stuff like that.
Literally. So
today is going to be one of those ones where we kind of run through...
How we've kind of managed arrears, or how the best way to kind of manage arrears. Probably share a bit of our experiences and situations we've been in regards to tenant management.
Hopefully no tears today.
I'm already thinking about certain people already.
You sound a bit low, bro.
It's not easy when you come to managing arrears, man. And I think the point we're just trying to get across today is, look, these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just the way you react to it when it do happen, like how you kind of manage it and, you know, and respond to it and making sure that you can get to the end goal. Have you had any arrears, Axe? Have you had any issues in arrears? Over time, of course.
Yeah, of course, man. I think luckily for me, I'm just trying to think back. Obviously, the last mad situation was probably like 2 years ago now. So it's been a while.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's had a mad situation.
Yeah. So the ones you've had are probably like people have paid late, a couple of days late.
Paid late or not that. Paid maybe for like 2-3 months and then end up leaving.
Rah.
And, you know, been able to kind of manage getting them out relatively quickly. More recently, we've had issues of definitely paying rent. But again, it's nothing that I've had to kick someone out or try to get someone out. It's just been more payment plans, trying to do things, to accommodate and so luckily it's not been so bad. But I'm aware that because of you and other people around me, that it can be a bit worse. And I've got to prepare myself. You know what I mean, like mentally as well, just that it's okay. So,
no, definitely.
In from this episode, I'm gonna take some tips as well. Luckily it's not been terrible. I ain't gone to court yet, basically.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's important, man. Yeah. And I think all the stuff we're going to go through today is trying to hopefully avoid you even getting to that point where you're getting to court. Because going to court sometimes, like the amount of money you spend on just fees first to apply to the court, and then even when you get the application through, there's other fees to come with it. Yeah. So sometimes it's just not worth it. Just cut your losses and just kind of move on with it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, because I know some people are very adamant, like, when ego starts to jump in and you're like, I don't give a damn, I'm going to get my money back, every single penny. But the person that's even owing can't afford it at the moment.
And so unfortunately, big the way man. That the law set up is just backing the tenants a lot more than
a lot of times. I think it's important to understand, okay, yes, that's in place, but however, what can we do to manage arrears. Even going back, before we get into the actual points and stuff like that, even going back, what would you, I guess, the most important thing is, when you do try and get tenants, to you do your due diligence.
Okay, so yeah, so I think that's the main thing.
Yeah,
I think
that's
the main thing. I think where people mess up is that, obviously, you go through the property purchasing process, so a lot of money involved, and you get the property, and sometimes, you know, especially when it's one of your first properties you're getting, even the way you have to, get up and running, get heating in there, do it up, you're spending money again.
Yes.
You know, it can feel like, is this even going to make me money?
Yeah,
so when it gets to the point of where you're actually advertising and you're getting tenants in, you can almost get to a desperate place. You're now just like, God,
just get someone in.
Just get me anyone in. Like, I remember the last property that I filled recently, I had to call you. Like, anytime I had someone that I was suspecting to let in.
Yeah.
And the difficult part is, and this is why I always say, speak to a local managing property agent. We always recommend Square Property Manager. Obviously, that's our business, but we don't say it for a reason, because it's one of those ones where when you don't know the area, there's certain tenant profiles that you're just not familiar with.
Yes.
And you're not familiar with the layout of the houses, the sort of people you know what I mean? So, for example, you might meet a certain person who claims to have a certain story about why they're using the house. A managing agent might have heard that story 100 times.
Right. And
that story is just a front for
maybe XYZ.
XYZ.
Word.
But then you not being, being a novice or being,
knowing the area.
Not knowing whatever. You're just thinking, calm. You're going to pay 3 months up front.
Yeah.
You know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. They seem like a nice homely family. Not knowing that family is a front for, Pablo Escobar. So I feel like, man, don't, doing this tenant referencing is important, and go the extra mile. Like, just go the extra mile. And I mean this because there's so much fraudulent behavior they can do now, that it's hard to even catch some of these guys out.
Word.
So they might say they work for a certain company. You need to go do research with the company. They're open. You need to go call the CEO of that company and sit down with him. You might have to go see him.
That is fact.
And say, is this a real company? Like, go to the office and see if it's an actual office.
That is so serious because it got to a point whereby I had a tenant, he was owing arrears, and he... now sent me a letter. Okay, he now said, okay, I got a job now. I got a job now. He now forged job accepting letter kind of thing. Obviously, we're looking at it like, okay, cool. We probably look for it properly and kind of see that that's not that. Go in the company house. Yeah. This ain't a real company or this XYZ. Then it looked like legit. From the front of it, you see the money, because some might just look into it and see that, it's gonna
bank
be. It's to see the form that they're giving you, the letter, the job acceptance letter. Now you look at it and see 34K. You're like, okay, cool. It's gonna be earning money now. Like, okay, cool. And that's the end of that.
Just so crazy that you can even have a CEO, but the CEO can be your boy.
Yep.
And when you call that boy, his boy. So he's gonna give him the story. It's almost to a point where it's not impossible to do completely, but you just have to go as deep as you can, basically.
Facts.
And don't move forward until you feel 100% comfortable. And if they're saying money up front, sometimes that's a bad sign. And that's something that was hard for me.
Keep saying this, it's definitely hard for you.
Imagine, like I said, you spend all that money on deposit, on doing up the house, and then someone says, I'll pay you 6 months up front. You're thinking, that's making all the money back that I did on the refund. Now I'm back to, making this money.
It just makes sense.
Okay, cool. Passive now. Wow. So you're thinking, you've seen that lump sum of 3, 4, 5 grand. You're thinking, this is great. So I just feel like at that point, you might want to just go for it, but you just have to take a step back and just say, you know what? What is this tenant profit? I recently took on some tenants that my business partner was happy to go with. I wasn't as comfortable to go with, but because they showed enough proof of evidence, where they, you know, references came back all right, I was like, it's fine. But again, like, they're great in terms of, okay, they pay on time, okay, and things like that, but they nag a lot in terms of, like, they, you know, find a hair in my stare, can you help me out,
come
like,
on,
just, stuff that just, like, that's not my problem, bro. They're just complaining, and
find a hair in my stare.
Honestly, like, I feel like you gotta be careful with the people you take in, but you know, at the end of the day, paying is fine. But just in general, just do your checks, get comfortable with them before you get them in. And you have to have a general rapport with them. Do not ever do just a video viewing. You know, that's okay for me personally when it comes to maybe HMOs, other short stay kind of accommodation, stuff like that. When it comes to your staying here, family, for example, like, you're staying,
you
want to
get vibe,
you want to get vibe, like, you're staying here for like 4 or 5 years, maybe, like, let's get a good vibe about how you guys are, how you communicate, how you move, you know, our vibe. Stuff like that. So, but I think, obviously references are imperative, and you can't, don't skip over them, don't do them cheap, because they will bite you in a bump down the line.
I guess that's the first step. But okay, let's say you do find yourself in rent areas and dispute, which we have. How do you manage that process? Because it can be daunting, especially for new landlords. And, you know, someone, you literally just got a house, they've been paying for the past 2 months, 3 months, and are now saying, well, I can't pay or whatever. And they start racking up arrears and stuff like that. Now, what would you say is like the first step, or what to kind of look into when you find yourself in this situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, first step, you definitely have to approach it on a human level. Don't just go in there and start saying, you ain't paid.
You ain't paid.
I'm going to take you to court. Cool. Please get out of my
ass. Don't do that.
Da, 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 da. You're threatening them. You're starting to do madness now. Like, first thing, establish, you know, a level ground. You know, speak to them.
Communicate
with them. You know, give them a call. Hi, Mr. Johnson. I know that I've noticed that you've, you know, fallen behind a little bit on rent. You know, is everything all right? Is there a situation that you want to talk about? Usually, I'm sure like 8-9 times out of 10, tenants are going to come out with, you know, a reasonable story, or story at least to kind of make you understand why that's happened. So, you know, blah, this is a situation. You know, unfortunately, this is a situation that I found myself in. I'm not able to pay rent. But then at that point, you can then start to establish some understanding of what you can do to rectify the issue, right? It might be a thing of, you know, he's just lost his job,
right?
And you know, he won't be able to pay rent for a few months until he finds something else. He did a jump off benefits, so maybe you're gonna have to do some sort of reduction. But you at least, you know, the situation now. You can come back with a solution to the situation.
That's a good point, mate. Because at the end of the day, there's no point. Okay, someone stopped paying rent. You've now found out. Like, you've now gone to them, okay, can you start paying rent again? But if you don't find out what the situation is, there's no point in telling somebody that just lost their job. Both of them, husband and wife, both lost their job in a month here. Like, there's no point in going to them, okay, you're £900, still pay it. Big man, we just lost our job. Like, physically pay it. So understanding why, and understanding their general financial situation, because they might turn around like, okay, we've just lost a job, however, we're looking aggressively on the market right now, so we will kind of be able to, you know, get back to it. But right now, we're just going through a phase right now. Okay, cool. Then that way, at least you have realistic deadlines and realistic plans in place for you to kind of get over that. Because like I said, there's no point, you know, making them pay something that they can't pay. Like, they genuinely physically can't pay it. So I think it's just understanding, you know, how the financial situation, and then what sort of payment plan you can put in place.
Just to interject there, I think why this is, again, it kind of goes back to a point that we didn't really mention, but this is so important. So when you have a tenant, to have this sort of professional but almost human level relationship with them. So you know, they see you as a human as well.
Yes.
They know that you're not this billionaire. You also know that they're normal human beings that are just paying rent and they have feelings as well. Basically, it's not just a business relationship, but at the same time, they're not your best friends.
No.
So that when these situations come up, you can kind of have that compassion, but still a little bit of, I will be, you know, noting down the fact that you haven't paid rent this month. So I will be, you know, sending an email to just let you know how much, you know, you should owe, you know, across the time, just so you're taking, you know, documentation of the situation. Over that period of time, you can still be compassionate and then start to figure out what you can do to kind of rectify the situation. So
no, definitely,
I think that's important.
Definitely.
What else would you suggest?
I think the next point, obviously, if you've established communication, you know what the situation is. I think you kind of need to try and understand as well if the tenant might maybe considered as vulnerable, or if there's, you know, maybe they're disabled or anything like that. And you kind of now need to look at options in the local authority to see how, who you can contact to kind of help out. And this is the point where you start looking at signposting options as well. So because you might be able to point them to an organization that might be able to provide support or advise on like benefit entitlements and like debt management and stuff like that. And
there's ones like, what is it? There's like Citizen Advice, I think.
Citizen Advice will kind of give you advice on, you know, what you can do or how to manage your arrears and who you can contact in the council and stuff like that. Obviously, your local council can also help advise as well. I mean, like, they might be able to advise on funding and help help you pay your rent. There's a thing called discretionary housing payment, DHP, and basically they can actually pay some of your arrears. Okay. I had a situation where I had a tenant that allegedly broke up with her husband, right? Broke up with her husband, but then she was pregnant. So she was due to have a baby in like weeks, literally. So obviously, I didn't want to put pressure on her, a pregnant woman, on like, you need to pay now, So I kind of had a conversation with her and said, look, there's a situation, and she'd been racking up for a few months because she broke up with her husband. Again, I knew that because I communicated, didn't I? I said, yo, like, what's going on? You don't normally miss. And this was a really good tenant in regards to, they fixed up the house, they've done work to the house, so they wasn't missing rent for a long time, and then obviously this happened. So I think what we was able to do, I got her to contact the local authority, and they were obviously, they classed her as vulnerable because she was having, you know, she didn't have her kids, she was having a baby and stuff like that, and she was by herself. So they was able to kind of get me, they was able to pay for their arrears.
That's amazing. I think that you know, there's so much good government support out there. I think the more, you know, we grow, you know, business people, I think we see it, because you know, that is such a situation where I feel like the government do step in and they do their job in a sense, because that is gonna ease the pressure on her. It's also gonna allow you to carry on running your
facts.
Business, and I feel like it kind of allows you to be more compassionate in the situation, instead of just being this, you know, slum evil landlord
claiming
rent from a pregnant woman.
No, for real.
About to be pregnant. It allows you to kind of, okay, cool, I'm actually going to lose, I'm not going to lose money in this situation.
Yeah.
Plus, I get to be compassionate. Plus, she gets to feel, you know, hopefully deliver the baby on time. Yeah. And everything's fine.
She's
not stressed out. So I think that is such a great point that you made there.
Yeah, and it's important. Like, I feel like you can only tap into these things if you have specialized knowledge, like if you know about it. So hence why we thought, let's just drop it. So something 100%. That might be worth looking into is discretionary housing payments, that can kind of help cover arrears. And what they did as well, actually, they covered their arrears and like they paid a lump sum.
Amazing.
They paid a lump sum.
So like, what was that, for like 3 months?
Yeah, it was like three months. Amazing. Rent. So, but they paid like it wasn't everything. They paid like a lump sum. I think it was like 2-3 grand or something like that. Yeah. And then they started paying, like, they was like, okay, we're going to pay X amount bi-weekly. Okay. So they basically have a conversation with the tenant and say, what can you afford? So whatever the difference between what they can afford, they said, okay, we'll pay this bi-weekly for a few months, and then until that person gets back on their feet.
And you know, this is a great point, not just for landlords, right? Like, this is a great point for tenants. Like, you find yourself in a situation where, you know, you can't afford rent, and you feel like, you know, your back's against the wall, maybe you're in a vulnerable position, go and seek out this advice, because, you know,
Shelter is another organization, actually.
Yeah, they help with situations as well, a lot of this as well, that can kind of offer you advice on how to manage these situations, because 9 times out of 10, the situation you're in, is you're not the only person that's gone through it, so there'll be something out there that can kind of give you the right advice to kind of how to maneuver it, so I think that's an amazing point there.
Facts.
I think the next one that I wanted to mention is, so once you kind of establish where the tenant is with the situation, you've gone out to, you know, for them to seek the necessary advice. For some tenants, you know, it might just be a thing of just organizing a payment plan with them. So they may have said that, look, we've had a job offer, or we've lost a job, but we've got another job offer that's about to start in about 4 to 6 weeks,
right?
And you know, don't worry, you know, got paid. This is the, you know, this is the letter to say that we've actually, you know,
got the job
from the company. So look, 100% we're joining this new company. For a month, we won't be able to afford the normal rent, but can we agree on a payment plan over the next 12 months that means that
we can pay off what we owe.
Yeah, what we owe, and still stay in the property and stuff like that.
And
I think that works, you know, for us before. I've actually done that myself with rent to rents, actually.
Right.
So there was a time in, obviously the pandemic where it was peak, didn't know what was going to happen with some of the houses. And for some of them, I just had to call the landlord and say, look, I've got no tenants.
So
they've all gone home to their countries. Mm. They've got no one in them. So, you know, let's set up a payment plan over the next period of time. That means that I can pay you back your money. I can still have the property. And when we get them back in, then I can still make profit. And I can still pay you back a healthy profit and still pay you back, basically. And I think that was very helpful. And I've actually done that with some of my tenants as well.
Nice.
Where they've said, you know, I can't afford rent for every reason. And they said to us that, can we have a payment plan, or I would suggested a payment plan to allow them to stay in the property, and it's helped them, because generally a payment plan might only be £50-100 on top of what you pay now.
Yeah.
The contract you might have with it may be up to 12-18 months, so over that period of time it's fine. You're thinking it's cool, I'll make this money back, and sometimes it slightly helps actually in the future, because you can actually up the rents and stuff like that, and it doesn't become an awkward situation.
Yeah, because you helped,
helped them out in the past. So I think that's definitely a great plan. Have you usually? I'm sure you have.
Yeah. The parent plans are great. Even during COVID, what I did was I created during the COVID period, I sent out a questionnaire to the tenants and just saying, okay, look, I know it's a pandemic, blah, blah. Okay, can you just tell me your situation? And if you do need some sort of payment plan, let me know how much you're going to be paying and blah, blah, and what your general situation is. And, you know, people responded, the ones that couldn't pay responded, everyone else, you know, was fine. So I think payment plan is just a good, it looks good on your part. Like I can mention that, you know, you're actually taking initiative to try to help them out. Like, I'm not saying I want all of it now. I'm saying, I hear your situation. Let me try and help you out. Let me try and help you out with it, if that makes sense. So, I think another thing to consider as well, is just like literally being clear, how much people owe, because when people start falling into arrears, like if you're not organized yourself, you start forgetting, how much do they owe again? Okay, 2 months. Because the thing with tenants is, though, tenants will pay, let's say they don't pay their arrears or whatever, they might just pay sporadically as well. Pay like £50 today, £100. And you're looking at yourself like, how much do you even owe? I don't even remember. So it's so important that you create like a
spreadsheet
of their arrears and stuff like that, and just make sure you're updating them regularly, sending them, if it's a weekly, monthly, whatever, just say, this is how much we received from you this month, and this is how much you're owing now. So it's just because that kind of helps as well, because if it ever did get to court, you have evidence to say you've actually tried, and that you try to kind of help them with a payment plan, you've actually put stuff in place to try and help them, you've communicated with them, and they know exactly how much they owe. So they can't say, I didn't know that.
I think document everything. Even when we spoke about the payment plan, even if you agree on that payment plan, or you agree on deferred payments, or whatever it is you agree on, put that in writing. So, you know, in an email, you know, both parties, you know, this is what we agreed, this is how we're
going to be. Absolutely.
Everyone and get them to reply to that email and say, I agree to these terms and I agree to this payment plan, I agree to these deferred payments, if not, what's going to happen? Like you said, you get to court and it's like...
Because when you make the application for claims and stuff like that, because I've done one, and they literally ask you, what have you tried so far? Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Have you tried? Because you can't just say, well, I tried this. Mm-hmm. Okay, when they ask for evidence, where's the evidence? Because the tenant can just turn around and say, they didn't even give me a chance. They just wanted to kick me out from the get-go. Like, I don't even know how much I owed. Right. So just make sure, like, you're clear about how much they owe, and then you're documenting what, you know, what you've attempted with them. Before we get into the next few, I think we should go on a quick break.
Okay, cool.
And then jump back in.
All right, guys, stay tuned. Peace.
Hi guys, Akin from Property Strat. If you haven't already, make sure to join the Patreon group. This is where we give you exclusive content. We give you all access to us via our WhatsApp and Telegram group. We also invite you down to podcast episodes and to come and see our sites and projects. So yeah, if you guys want to get a bit closer into what we're doing and get to know us a bit more, then definitely join the Patreon. Link in the bio on Instagram and on Twitter and on our website. So get joining. Take care, stay blessed, keep investing.
Welcome back, guys, to the Property Strategist Podcast. Today, we're telling you how to manage arrears, a situation everyone faces. So it's just...
Anyone that's going to grow a big portfolio.
Yeah, at least once. There's going to be people not paying. I mean, let me know if you've had a perfect run over the past 10 years, please. I don't think that's the case. So, but yeah, so obviously we've gone through, you know, the main points that I kind of went through was making sure you communicate, establish the reasons why, you know, they're not paying and why what their financial situation is, try and do payment plans, signpost them, look into what the government's offering regarding to support for paying and debt management and all of that stuff. So, and we kind of made sure that it was important for you to be clear about how much people owe and stuff like that, because you know you kind of need to not miss that, because people tenants can just easily say, yeah, I didn't know how much I owed. So being clear and sending that rental statements and stuff like that to tenants. So yeah, so a couple other points before we round up. I think another good one is having guarantors. In a situation where you do have a guarantor, it's you need to make sure you get the guarantor involved in the conversation
from early.
So even from
the contract, they should be on there. To be fair, their name should be on there.
Yeah,
did you have their record in terms of their ID?
Yeah, absolutely.
Should have done a reference on them.
They would have signed the contract.
Done background checks on them as well.
Yeah. So it's literally, I guess, if people stop paying, you've contacted them and say, "Yo, what's happening? You haven't paid.
It's gone quiet."
Next step is go speak to the guarantor and say, "Look, you know, Dave hasn't paid this month and I've been trying to get in touch with him. You do know you're the guarantor, so you know you are liable to pay for him. So what are we saying?" So obviously understand that the guarantor situation might have changed as well. So depending on what, like, they might be not being in a financially stable place as well. So it's just stuff like that you kind of need to look into. Hence why, again, when referencing guarantors, you know, you make sure you reference them properly. And and generally, to be honest, when I go for guarantors, I generally try to go for homeowners, like, because it's a little bit more, they've got some sort of asset, do you know what I mean? And rather than just somebody that's renting and they might, you know, be in a similar situation, they got to pay their rent and stuff. So just another thing to consider.
Do you prefer if the guarantor, I mean, usually it has to be a family member, right? But do you prefer if it's a family member or it's just a friend or...
No, it doesn't. I think if it's a family member, again, you might think, okay, there's a bit more personable, whereby there's a bit more at risk because of your family. You wouldn't, you know, want your family to get kicked out and stuff like that. But I think for me, I am a look at it like that. I just literally look at it like, who's in a better position to guarantor you? Like, who's in a financially good situation to guarantor you? Like, if I've got somebody that's a friend that's earning 90k a year, I've got a family member that's earning like 25k a year, and both of them are willing to guarantor, if I'm doing the checks, I'm like, okay, this one, the 90k one might be better, because if they do fall in the arrears, they might be more likely to be able to afford it. So that's kind of like my general thought process. But yeah, now in regards to the managing the arrears process, just make sure you include the guarantor as quick as possible in a conversation.
And don't mitigate it. I think there's certain tenants that just need a guarantor. It's just a manager.
Facts.
For example, international students, for example, is one. Maybe a first time renter. They'll either be the first time they're renting a property, and you know they're really excited.
They've not got any history with landlords.
Yeah, they don't know history with no landlords and stuff. So yeah, you want to get, you know, someone on there to kind of, yeah, just as a bit of rest and comfort for you when you're doing, when you're letting them in and stuff like that. But for some other tenants, maybe not as much. Maybe they don't need a guarantor necessarily. And I wouldn't say in every situation you need a guarantor, but for certain situations, 100%, I would opt for one. And I think, have they come in handy for you before? Have there been situations where
you have
to go into the guarantor?
I've had situations like that where I had guarantor and they've not been able to pay. And I think initially I've said I'm gonna. There's been a couple of scenarios. One scenario is like, oh, I'm going to get in touch with the guarantor to let them know that you're not paying. That's kind of scared them a little bit. And they're like, okay. All of a sudden, they find the money and say and send it. Because, again, it might be like a fear factor whereby they don't want to let the guarantor down, maybe. Do you know what I mean? There's been another situation whereby I've just had to go to the guarantor and the guarantor kind of spoken to her and then kind of paid her son or whatever. And he kind of paid rent and kept up with it. So, no, definitely. Okay. Guarantors, I think, work. Very well.
Okay, great. And I think we'll go to the last point I had to mention was, obviously the main thing with all this year is that if there's a way you can avoid it, please do.
Literally.
Because it's going to be, they'll save you a lot of money, a lot of headache, a lot of time, possession, and stuff like that. And ultimately, you don't want to be doing this. But if you do, here's how you get yourself prepared. So I would say last point is probably just to find, if you can, someone to mediate the situation. So for example, you've got a tenant that is saying that in certain situations, maybe they don't want to pay rent, maybe they're not happy with you or something. It'd be great if you had someone to mediate the situation. So again, even mentioning the guarantor, there may be somebody that be able to kind of act as a mutual party in the situation to kind of, you know, if that communication has gone a bit left,
mm.
then they can kind of manage it for you and help you in that situation. Mm. With a lot of properties, it's almost like a business. There's usually like a business partner that we work with.
Mm.
Sometimes, and even you, the tenant with you, it's just grinding your gears and like,
yep.
You're just at a point now that like, if you speak to them,
I can't even talk to you. Yeah.
If I talk to you, it's not going to be good. Like, I'm just going to be bringing that roadman accent. Like, I'm too old to be doing that. So, you know, I'm going to just get my business partner in here. He's got a cooler head in the situation, and he's always played. You got a good cop and bad cop. Like, that's how we always play it with his tenants. Maybe they can come in and a good cop at that point and just say, yeah, you know what? What's the situation? You know, apologies, you know, for my business partner, even if you've done nothing wrong. Apologies.
Hello.
Apologies.
I have to say sorry in this game, boy.
I have to say sorry, boy. Apologies on you know, how it's gone a bit sour. Mm. Is there any way we can kind of rectify the relationship?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is there anything that, you know, we can do on our part to kind of give you, you know, some sort of good gesture to kind of get you back on, you know, the right path? And usually that's worked. Like, that's worked a million times. I can't explain how many times that's worked.
That's so true.
Where I've come into the situation and, you know, even if I'm not part of it, I mean, I'm for your tenant, you're for my tenant, you're doing it for me.
Mm.
And I come in and just have that calm word.
Yeah.
Anything we can help with, you know, maybe it's even something as silly as art. You know, he's not been able to fix that toilet for, like, you know,
right. And that's why,
that's why
I haven't really paid.
Now the toilet seat's broken again, and the TV's messing up.
Right.
So I'm tired of it. I just don't want to pay rent. Okay. And you go, you know what? Sorry about that. Yeah. Apologize. You know,
we'll sort that out.
Yeah. Do it really quickly, really efficiently, and then they feel more calm. Mm. And you say to him, anytime you need me, you know, anytime there's an issue, you come to me. Come right now, forget him. He's a cunt. Even though it's. Okay, and he's, you know, he's my boy. But you just say he's a cunt, but he comes to me, I sort you out and stuff like that. You gotta do what you gotta do, mate.
Strong word to use on the Property Strategies podcast, man.
Okay. I got a bit passionate there.
Yeah, clearly. See you next Tuesday.
Got a bit passionate there, guys. But, but I think that's definitely a good point, because, you know, it's not every day, you know, you let your ego, you know, play a part. Sometimes when you're a landlord, it's like, some people got egos, I own the house, you do it my way, or the highway.
Mm.
But, you know, just like any business, you've got to listen to your clients, customers. They're the ones that rule the business.
Nah, I hear that, man. And there's actually professional mediation companies out there, innit? So that's another option. You don't have somebody that can be the mediator, just, you know, get in contact with one of these companies that can mediate and kind of step in. Another gem as well, before we wrap up, is when you see that your tenant's falling behind in arrears, there's a thing you can do called a money claim.
Yep.
And then that way, it works, because number one, it's cheaper than you going to the courts and stuff like that. It's an application, you just put a money claim on them. But the good thing about it is when they see that there's stuff happening, like obviously if they're getting an email to say someone made a money claim, some of them panic. Okay, you might start seeing payments. And so it's just, you just don't be passive. Yeah, don't be passive and just not do nothing. Like, make sure you're active and you're doing stuff, because if you're passive, which ones they own, they're not gonna, there's no urgency, you know, there's no, so that's important. And like we said earlier as well, make sure you make a record, like take records of everything, all your communication, text message. If you have a phone conversation, follow up with an email or text to say, oh, as discussed, you mentioned you're going to pay on XYZ, or as discussed, I've tried to do XYZ. So make sure you have all of that, because, you know, some tenants might use the fact that you haven't sorted out a maintenance issue that they've never told you about. They haven't told you about. They didn't tell you about the whole past 2 months, but when it's time to ask for money and they're in their ears, they're like, oh, well, the kitchen's been flooded for a few weeks. You're like, what? Mm-hmm. Why are you just telling me this now?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And that's something we get, like, so there's one tenant I know that, dude, every single time I'm chasing for money, she comes up with, oven's broken. Yeah, okay, but you should have told me this before.
Scary. Yeah. Some of them almost preempt a situation where they may not be able to pay rent by always complaining about something.
Facts.
So they're always trying to find something to say that, oh, well, it's been six, you know, it's been 12 months, every minute this issue here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that issue is not an issue.
It's not an issue.
I've got one tenant now, literally everything. And I said to him, this tenant, you have to be careful with this one. He's found something to complain about even when there's nothing there. But yeah, I think this episode has been great. I think what you should do with this episode, guys, is that you should take all the points that we mentioned, go to Google, do your own research around that as well. Really build a foundation of understanding how to deal with a situation where, you know, your tenant is in arrears. legal professionals as well. Mm. There's people you can speak to out there to give advice on this as well. There's obviously the NRLA as well, where they give great advice as well about this stuff as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there's a lot of places out there you can get good advice on how to deal with this stuff. So
no, word. And as you can see, our voice is very mellow in this episode because we know it's a serious episode. It's serious. Managing it is. It's not a joke.
It's not sexy.
It's not.
You know what? I'm glad you did it because you know when it comes to the DMs as well. Mm. A lot of them are around, this is the situation, I'm a tenant and I'm not sure how to deal with it. So this is a good episode for something
Like I said, another reason we did it was because people get scared to get involved in property because of this. My work, tenants don't pay. Okay, cool. This is how to manage it. It's not always going to be roses. No one's saying that. This isn't always going to work. This is to mitigate and minimise any issues or you going for possession.
And don't be afraid to go to court as well. Like, in life, I'm realising as I get older as well, you know, especially when you're in the right, you've done the right things. Mm. Don't be afraid to put your things in. Do the things the right way. And if you have to go to court because someone's, you know, asking you to do something, then, you know, just go there. At least you've got everything in place.
No, for real.
In order to make sure that you can, you know, win the case and get your property back.
But just make sure you're not going to court based on ego. I must get all my money back because you're going to spend a lot of money for that process as well. So have that in mind as well. But yeah, man. Been a good episode. Till next time, guys. Stay tuned. Stay following. Peace.
Building a successful brand, a successful business, but surely there must be, without mentioning any names, there must be people out there, competition, who don't like what you do. How do you deal with that kind of competition?
I'm going to say one thing to this question, and that's it. I'm chasing my dream, not the competition.
And that's it.
That's it.
Okay, fantastic. So I want to say thank you, Jamal.